Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on April 29th, 2021. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
We are here, as always, to talk about the anime stuff we've been watching, some of which is on Toonami. But before we get to that, I should mention, so last week we were talking about how they were going to have Dr. Stone and My Hero Academia. We were wondering, oh, so are they just adding them on the same week? Well, I should have investigated a little better before I mentioned it, because no, they are having one of them debut 1 week, and then the other comes the next week. Except I can't remember what order it was. So My Hero Academia comes, then Dr. Stone appears the next week. So the week after this weekend will be My Hero Academia. So I think it's replacing Attack on Titan. Yes, it's replacing Attack on Titan.
Okay.
Yeah, that explains why they announced like the schedule change thing for the 15th, because here they're just swapping Attack on Titan for MMHA, and then the week afterwards they're actually going to be since Dr. Stone is replacing Fire Force, they'll be moving that a bit earlier.
And Food Wars gets bumped back, right?
That's what it is. It is bumped back one a little bit there. And then you have Black Clover, and then I think you have Naruto after that.
Mm-hmm.
On the whole, probably a... No, wait. There's a Promised Neverland in there somewhere. I think that's after... I think that's after Food Wars.
Okay.
Yeah, Toonami maybe should have started airing that earlier, because I have not seen much interest in it, because it aired in Japan and everyone talked about how bad it was when they watched the subbed. So now people aren't interested in watching the dub because all they've had all everyone tell them, oh, the second season's bad.
Mm-hmm. I didn't care much for the first season either.
I haven't really been, I think I only watched the first two episodes of the second season. I haven't been keeping up with that because I've been trying to not stay up as late. I have been failing miserably at that, but I have been trying. Anyway, so we begin now this week with Attack on Titan, episode 74. So, since Zeke's been taken captive by Levi and hooked up to this weird sort of grenade bomb thing that makes it so that if he moves too much, it'll blow up, it'll blow up. He then decides, well, now it's time to have a flashback. A long flashback. Honestly, in all this stuff here, the big thing, I think the only real important takeaway is that when Zeke was explaining his plan of, well, I can't even, the plan he said he was offering to them, which I can't remember, it had something to do with Historia having a kid in the rumbling. I can't remember the specifics, and it doesn't matter because that was made up. His actual plan was to try to do something to make it so that all the Eldians won't, those are like the guys who can turn into the Titans and stuff, won't have children, thereby making it so that there won't be any more to suffer from prejudice and stuff, because then there won't be any more, and no one will be able to turn into Titans because only they can do it or something like that.
So basically, birth control.
The thing is, if someone who has the Titan power, the Nine Titans, dies, then it gets reborn in some new Eldian person who's born. So the idea is that if none of them have any more children, then it would, then the Titans would be gone and finished. I think. So that's his real plan, which apparently...
That doesn't make sense. You said that if one of them dies, then it gets transported to someone else. But then you said if they have children.
Okay,
so am I not right that that's birth control? You know, just no one, no one ever has any babies, and you stop. That's how you stop the Titans from coming.
Yeah. Yo, no. You were right. You were right.
Oh, okay.
You were right. I was just trying to. Or did I say you were wrong? Did I say that?
I might have said that. Really. I just didn't understand.
Okay. Okay. I think I was just trying to clarify how that if you did that to everyone, then it would work. Although I think it's less birth control and more when you get down to it, it's basically eugenics.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but that's his real plan. So after he has his big flashback, Zeke thinks to himself, "Well, I had my big flashback. I know how this is going to go. I might as well go out with a blaze of glory and decide mm-hmm. and sets off the bomb himself."
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was the episode.
Yep. Yep, that was it.
Yep. Okay. So, yeah, not too much to say. I mean, I guess we did find out what his actual plan was, but other than that, it was a case of, well, that was a kind of long flashback.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then we got Food Wars episode 46. Do you want to do it, or?
Why don't you do it?
Okay. Soma manages to, since Soma's wind, everything is great, and they manage to then use that to make sure that all the future Food War stuff for their survival of the different clubs and stuff will actually be fair. So there's going to be a lot of Shokugekis about that, and so they decide, let's go watch some of them, because, Alice turns out that she actually was in charge of a club that she forgot about. So she's having Kurikiba do the food war to preserve it.
Yeah. Yeah, this episode was good, but it didn't feel like as much happened in it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was some stuff. Also, I meant to double check on this in the Japanese to make sure, but they keep calling him Aizen, and I'm thinking, I'm pretty sure the way it's written, it would be pronounced Aizen. So I don't know if my pronunciation knowledge is wrong, or if they're just pronouncing it weird, or whatever. It was just a little weird that they do that, because his name is spelled, well, it's spelled in Japanese, but it's the corresponding symbols to EI, and that's normally pronounced like A, so, you know, like as in sensei.
Right, right. I know what you're talking about. I just think it might be a thing like how Attack on Titan has these weird pronunciations of people's names, like Reiner and stuff.
Well, I think that's because they're supposed to, if I remember correctly, it's because they're supposed to be like German names, and that's how they're said in German, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not 100% sure on that. I should have looked that one up, but I think, I remember. I think that's the case, because Erwin, his name is spelled Erwin. So if you look at that in English, you say Erwin, but in German, the W is pronounced like a V. So they're doing that, at least. A bunch of the names are like, you know, from a non-English language, and then they're being pronounced that way, I think.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't have too much to say about that one. Moving on to something that I probably don't have much to say about, Black Clover, episode 147. So the guy, Asta and Noelle try to go rescue, Sekre/Nero, and, okay, now here's a weird thing. So, they're not able to make them let her go. So Asta's like, well, okay, take us prisoner also and take us with you. And I'm thinking, okay, you, it was various, it was established all these people have very little magic. Can't you just beat them and rescue Sekre yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Asta wouldn't be that great because his power is that he's able to beat magic. But, I mean, Noelle's pretty strong. You could definitely just, you know, rescue her. I'm not even sure. Is she being restrained by some sort of magic warping thing? What's preventing her from getting away from them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Anyway, after an episode that has a lot of talking and Noelle and Asta surrendering for no apparent reason, then Yami just decides to show up at the end and making and basically say, oh yeah, this episode was kind of a waste of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see it your way on this. Yeah. So how many episodes left of this filler?
Let's see. 7.
Oh, okay. I can live with that. So then we get, are they, now I need to ask, like, how much do they have dubbed, you know?
I'm not sure offhand. If you mean, like, on Funimation's site, sometimes it's a little harder to figure out because of the fact that, you know, they might have it dubbed, but it's just not on their site. Like, Attack on Titan debuts on Toonami. They are up, on their website, they're up to episode 151, and we just watched, did I say, I said it and I can't remember. I think I said it. Episode 147. So they're 4 episodes ahead of us. Okay. So I don't know at what rate they're dubbing it, if they're managing to keep up with a weekly schedule or if they've fallen a bit behind. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I guess we will.
Huh. Yeah, who knows? They might end up having to put it away for a while.
Yeah. That would be interesting to see what they would have replace it. Do you have any idea? Like all our ideas have now been used up. You know, we were guessing. I kept guessing Dr. Stone. You were saying My Hero Academia. Like, what else is there?
There's Assassination Classroom. They could bring that back for the next season. For the second season.
Yeah, season 2 of that.
Okay.
Bring back Death Note.
I would be so happy if they were to re-air Bobobo again, but they probably won't. You know, that's a property. I like that show. It's weird because it just seems like whoever is a license holder is just sitting on it to such an extent because they... So what happened was they aired it on Toonami, and that was all good and stuff. Then it got a DVD... Then there's like nothing for a long time. Then they put out a DVD release, except they didn't really put that many of it. But they did release the whole series on DVD, but not that many were made, so it was hard to make it. So then they finally were years later, all right, let's put it out on Blu-ray. And I think you still can get it on Blu-ray, and that's great and stuff. But it's just weird that it's not on any streaming service. It just almost feels like that's just money you're just leaving there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's that. I don't know what other stuff there is, but you know, there's always a chance they'll just go for a ringer, like you know, when they had be just aired a Gridman, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure what else they could do. I guess Jujutsu Kaisen is kind of popular now, but that's not necessarily something they'd be doing. So I don't know. Who knows? I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I guess isn't there? Has the next Sword Art Online? Because I come out. or because I remember they weren't going to do another season of the main story yet. They were like, the next thing was going to be some sort of spin-off or whatever. Well, I don't know. We're speculating about something that that might not happen for a while anyway.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. So, all right. Then we'll move on to our non-Toonami stuff. I am excited for some of those new shows to come out because I'm thinking we might get a bit more of a discussion out of some of them.
Yeah.
So, right. So we've got then Baka and Test episode 3.
Yeah. So, Yoshi has the two girls on him, and both want to take him on a date. And I was reminded of the Seinfeld episode where George can't get his girlfriend to break up with him. So then he has an affair with someone else, and they both stay as his girlfriend. And he can't do anything about it. So, that was a pretty funny episode.
Was that the episode where he manages to get her to break up with him by pretending to pick his nose? Or was that a different one?
No, that isn't it.
Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, Yoshi has those two girls, and then the other guy, and you know, I should know these people's names since I saw the show, but I don't remember his name, unfortunately. And he's with that girl from Class A who has him chained up and tortures him, which was pretty funny. And this episode pretty much had none of the, there's a little bit of the battle with the avatars whenever that one girl who's crazy about, I need to get these people's names. Let me see if I can get these names. So
I remember that girl's name because they've said it a bunch. It's a Shimizu.
Okay. Which one?
The one who's like crazy about the one who's like, you know, insane.
Okay.
Like especially like even by the standards of the show.
Yeah. So basically just complete chaos and they even go back to the theater for a second time, which I was like, They did a pretty good job with using that twice. And then there was a little bit of a whole thing about a love letter thing. But what ends up happening is that Yoshi gets a letter and he thinks it's Himeji's love letter to him, but it's actually a love letter from a guy. So that's about where it ends.
Yeah, because there's that part where he was trying to go under disguise by having that, like, by wearing that dress. And, yeah. So, let's see. Yeah. Well, okay. This was kind of funny. I didn't like it as much as the previous episode. That one had, like, all the best, like, jokes and stuff. This one didn't have really as many laugh out loud moments, but there were some amusing things in it. I think my biggest criticism is that gag where there's that guy with the camera who keeps trying to take like upskirt pictures or whatever. Like, they've been doing that each episode, and it's kind of, I think, run its course a little.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they vary it up in the future or what, because it actually looked like they were doing that in this episode where he's like going, oh, well, I think that's enough. But then he keeps doing it. So, The funniest gag probably was the part where well, I can't remember anyone's name, but when that girl is basically forcing the guy to go to see the movies.
Yeah. Let's see. I got the names up here now. Mina Me, that's the name of the girl, or is it Samad? I don't know whether they pronounce, whether they say the last name or the first name.
That's such an annoying thing with anime that has actual names, is because people variously refer to the other, like other people, by their first or last names. Do you have to actually remember which them both?
Mm-hmm.
Like unlike in English, where you basically always use someone's first name. In Japan, sometimes it's the first, sometimes it's the second, and that makes it harder to remember.
Okay, so Shoko. I should have known that. Shoko's the class A girl. That's okay, so that makes sense. Reading these name descriptions are pretty funny. Yeah, so I thought it was great, but you don't like anything I like, so I figured that's, you know, the way it goes.
Well, I liked it. I thought the episode was decent. I just, I did like, the best joke, well, to be more specific, it's the one where she's buying the tickets and the people at, oh, I can't remember exactly what they say, but the people at the movie theater just like say, okay, two tickets, it's for a student and some, and like, I can't remember how they describe the guy, and someone who's just passed out on the floor, whatever they said. That was good.
Yeah, the guy who, yes, I forget how they said that too. Yeah, it was like, yeah, a guy who they're wasting money on or something. I forget. But, yeah. Okay, so on to the other show. Yeah.
Although, one thing, this was weird. Normally, when they went to the eye catcher thing, you know, the thing they show when they go to commercial and come back, there's all this text, and they didn't include any, you know, subtitle or whatever to tell you what it says, like they usually do when there's Japanese text on screen.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they just thought that it would have to cover too much, but I still wish I was just curious about what it said.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got Kaguya-sama, episode 3. Oh, okay, here's something I actually should ask. When we discuss this, do you want me to just do the episode as a whole, or do you want to discuss each segment separately?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, go one by one through the segments.
Okay, because they're pretty quick to explain. So the first one is where they come across like some, you know, women's magazine or whatever. And then, well, the whole joke of this part is basically that they're talking about, you know, like the phrase first time and doing it. But Kaguya thinks that refers to kissing, which leads to humorous misunderstandings until they get it worked out. And this was a case where I completely saw exactly what joke they were going to go for, and they still managed to make it funny.
Well, I was going to say something similar, but you can continue.
Okay. I like to... I also did think it was, and you know, then Chika has to actually explain it all to Kaguya. And I did like, and then since at the end of like each sort of mini episode, they always say results of today's battle, and they always like say someone won or someone lost. And this one, Kaguya lost. Pause. Her innocence.
Yeah, I think they actually pronounce it Kaguya.
I'm sorry. I should be saying Kaguya. I keep putting the ac- I I keep putting the stress on the wrong syllable.
Yeah. So with this thing, it was way too obvious what the joke was, but it was still pretty funny. It's just that I saw this one coming a mile away, and I saw the next one coming. Almost as immediately as they started the segment, I was like, "Okay, I know what it is." So, yeah, they're not winning any points with me for surprise, but that there's still definitely a lot of funny moments, particularly in the second segment.
Yeah, and that second segment was basically just them playing 20 questions. Well, Kaguya says that it needs to be down to 10 to make it harder. And he's thinking that through it, it's like saying, oh, he's like getting through all this thing. Like, okay, it's like something that's living, it's real and all this stuff. And then finally she's saying, he's like starting to think, oh, wait, is it me? Is this actually some love confession thing? And then he just figures out, oh, no, it's actually talking about Chica's dog.
I love the response she gives. Like, oh, yeah, you got it. That was fantastic. It was like I knew it was the dog from like the third or fourth question. I was like, okay, they're going with the dog. And then it became so obvious, but whenever she says, oh, wow, you got it right, like that was so funny.
You're smarter than me then, because I didn't know it was a dog. I was pretty sure, like, you know, it was going to subvert and it wouldn't be him, but, like, did the dog, was the dog mentioned at the start and I missed it, or?
For some reason, I knew it was the dog, maybe because of its appearance in the earlier segment.
Okay.
And as soon as they said, you know, a couple of those things, I was like, okay, that's what it is.
Okay.
So.
Oh, there's something I forgot to mention. At the start of the episode, it starts doing that like lengthy monologue thing. Like, first you fall in love, then it just starts. It just literally fast forwards through it all.
Mm-hmm.
That I like that. That was good. Then for the third one, it just kind of says, "Well, enough with the comedy. Let's try to do something more touchy-feely," which is just one where Kaguya ends up walking to school and she ends up having to take care of this kid who is afraid of crossing the streets alone.
Yeah, I didn't get the point of the third segment. I don't have any idea like what that was even about. It was like, okay, So we are going to have a romance in this thing. We are dropping the comedy for the last bit of the show so we can have a romantic episode. I guess, I mean, it's not that I'm against that. It's just that it didn't really fit with the rest of the episode. It just felt kind of like jarring, you know? It was like, what is this?
Yeah, it was weird because there just wasn't, like, much comedy in it. Mostly was just trying to, you know, do, like, the whole... It was trying to be more touching, I guess. And then, as you mentioned, at the end, it did have... Shirogane, you know, help her out by letting her ride on his bicycle to get to school on time. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe the point was just to try to say, oh, she can be really nice and stuff to try to, I guess, flesh her out and the other and Shirogane out a little by just not being pure comedy all the time. But yeah, it just felt kind of weird. Okay. Oh, did you watch the credits thing?
What credits thing?
Like the credits for this episode. It kind of, you know, the one that had Chica and she did that goofy little dance. That thing went kind of memetic, I think. It actually is a pretty catchy song, and for some reason it's not the normal ending. Yeah, so that was Kaguya-sama or Kaguya-sama. One of these days I will actually have to look. They say it and I can never remember how it's said. I think you're right. I think it is Kaguya, but well, something is something. Anyway, so we've got that. All right, so that's all of our shows then.
Yeah. Are we doing a top three?
Sure. Unless you want to switch it to a top two or top one or something.
No, top three. So third place this week will be Food Wars. Second place, Kaguya-sama. And first place, Baka and Test. That was the funniest one of the week. Not that it has to be funny, you know. Like, I'm not saying that you have to have a funny show for it to be good. But Baka and Test was funny enough that it won me over. And Kaguya was funny, too. So that's why it gets over Food Wars as well.
Okay, it was. Wait. So let me. You said. Did you say it was? No. Never mind. I was. Yeah. So my top three would be third place Baka and Test, second place Food Wars, first place Kaguya-sama. I think the problem is right now with our current lineup, it seems like we're always getting. No. We gave a higher thing to Attack on Titan last week, but it seems like so frequent. Last week weren't both of ours. Didn't we both have Food Wars, Baka and Test, and Kaguya-sama in there? Yeah. With our current lineup, it feels too much like we're just going to be having those shows in our top three perpetually, and the only difference is what order.
Yeah.
Maybe Dr. Stone or My Hero Academia will shake things up.
Yep.
Yeah, because as long as it's in filler, Black Clover probably isn't going to be cracking it. Unless they do for a pure comedy episodes, because those can actually be pretty decent for filler.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. So I finally did. So I mentioned how, because I was curious about how, like, what the next season of, like, whether the next season of ReZero would be better, because we both were kind of disappointed by the second season. So I went and read the next arc of the web novel, which thankfully was translated into English online. And I don't know. Did you want to hear my thoughts on it? I finally finished the arc.
No, I think I'd rather wait until it airs to find out about it. I don't want to be spoiled.
Okay. Well, do you want me to like say some things? I can like avoid spoilers.
No, I'd rather just not hear anything so I can go in with my own perspective, because I don't want to go into a perspective of, oh, this is bad or, oh, this is good, and have it affect the way I watch it. So I'd rather not talk about it yet.
Okay. Do you want me to at least say whether I thought it was better or worse than the second season? Or not even that?
No, I just would rather not be spoiled in any way. That's all.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So there's that. I am still left feeling confused as to why they are not translating the English light novels. Cause like I said, this was the web novel. It's which is the Japanese. That one is available for free. The light novel is like the more, I think, is like what they actually release on paper and stuff, and they make some changes along the way, I think. I'm just sort of confused as to why the output for those, translating those into English, is so much slower, because they are legitimately releasing them slower in English than they are in Japanese. Why does it take how does it take longer to translate than to actually write the thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that I never really thought of it that way before, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because normally for these sort of things, you can, like, get them out. Like, my main experience is with manga, and of course manga is going to be much faster to translate than a light novel. There's less text. But even considering that, I just feel like when you have a popular series, I feel like, well, maybe you could try to hurry it up a little. I mean, I can't imagine that it would take, that it's impossible to be translating these things, like, at least, like, you know, getting 4 out per year in English instead of 3, which seems to be the current schedule. And because if you can do that, because I'm just thinking of it from a business perspective, I'm sure a lot of people like me finished the second season and was like, well, I'm curious about what happens next. Oh, well, they don't have anything past this released in the light novel form. And if there was, I would have been like, yeah, I'm going to check all of these out probably, like a lot of people do for a manga series. So I get the fact, obviously, again, you don't want to, like, completely rush the thing, but I still just can't have to think that it must be possible to get this stuff out faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you definitely got a point there, and I honestly don't know the answer for you, but
part of the problem might be that ReZero, compared to most other light novels, the stuff comes out very quickly. There's like 3 to 4 new volumes each year in Japanese, it seems. So obviously that makes it harder to keep up, but again, I'm just thinking it has to be possible to be getting these things out faster, but maybe it's not. It just seems weird to me that when they had, like, for example, the next season coming out, they didn't try to, you know, ramp stuff up. I still remember the time when Viz, because they were behind in, like, One Piece, just decided, okay, for a few months, we're going to bring out 5 volumes per month. Which apparently was did take a lot of effort to be able to do them that quickly, but it's still possible. And I guess, you know, okay, so it's not as popular as One Piece, so, you know, going that strong, but I don't know. I guess I'm kind of repeating myself on this.
When a horse is dead, dismount. I heard that someone said that one time. I was like, that's pretty funny.
Horse is dead, dismount. What if it was a zombie horse? Okay. So, well, that was my piece of babbling. Did you have any babbling to do?
No, I'm not so big on the babbling part.
If you've got something to talk about that isn't babbling, that's even better.
No, all I got is really sports to talk about, so that doesn't really fit with the theme of our podcast. Although I am doing a sports podcast, so that's kind of exciting. So there was a person who runs a sports history site, and he kind of just recruited people to do their own podcast for him. So started doing it and started to get pretty good following. So that's kind of exciting. I only broadcast every other Tuesday, so I tape it way in advance because of all the work it takes to edit the audio. But, yeah, so that's what I'm doing right now. And not this second, I mean, but that's what I've been kind of been doing lately.
Okay, so what's the name of the podcast, and where can it be found?
It's called Lombardi Memories, and it can be found at sportshistorynetwork.com. So, yep, that's where it's pretty much every episode is a Super Bowl, and I go through Super Bowls one by one, and I go in like really in depth into the games and stuff. So each episode's about 20 to 25 minutes, but I kind of give out my awards of who's the best player, who's the worst player, stuff like that. So that's what I've been up to, and it's been pretty fun actually. Although I realized that whenever you do a podcast on your own, you have to either be really good at ad-libbing or you have to have detailed notes. So that's why I'm always taking a big amount of notes, because otherwise I don't know what I'd say. I'd be up there like, the guy moved the ball down the field. Like, I need to have something to keep me from not going off the path, you know?
Yeah. Well, have you been discussing perhaps the most important thing of every Super Bowl? What the lead out program is?
Mm-hmm. You know, when did the lead out program start failing? Because I know the last few lead out programs, or not all of them, but a lot of them have been failing. Like, for example, CBS aired this America's Got Talent knockoff show, and it barely made it through season one.
I'm seeing this is from a few years back. The World's Best.
Yep. It was, the ratings were so low. They were fractional back before everything became fractional. And it was like a miracle that it made it to the end of the season without getting yanked off the air.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at them. Yeah, those are you expect, of course, the series to go down a lot after the its premiere on the Super Bowl. But after it airs on the Super Bowl, its regular episodes are lower. But yeah, that was a definite. That yeah, I can see, and that only lasted one season. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder. The one. Do you know what? The first one to air after the Super Bowl was. Oh wow! I'm looking at it. There were two shows because the Super Bowl ran on two networks.
Right, right. I could tell you all about that, but this isn't the podcast for that.
Yeah. Yeah, they were Lassie and Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color.
I think Lassie is the most has the most of any show, which isn't surprising because nowadays a show only gets one shot on after the Super Bowl. But I think Lassie holds the record for the most times.
Let's see. So we have. There's three of Lassie. The Simpsons only got it twice. That probably was. It probably is Lassie. I'm glancing over. I don't see anything else that would have gotten that would have been on there three times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, well. Hopefully you've learned something. By you, I mean the listener. But hopefully you also have learned something. I've learned something. We've all learned something. So that, I guess, gets... I guess that's its own reward. Oh, I'm sorry. There's one last thing I wanted to mention. It was about Kaguya-san. No, Bakken Test. There was a part where the guy was running. The other guy, I can't remember his name. The one from Class A that sends a weird love letter at the end. There's that part where he's running and he's got that like piece. And he's like holding that like toast in his mouth and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's like, and I'm just like thinking, is that the part where someone's running to school and they've got toast in their mouth and then they collide with someone? I've seen that parodied a bunch of times, but was that something that was ever actually played straight to begin with? It's like the joke, the thing where someone said, well, wow, the butler did it, as if that's like a surprise. But I don't think the butler ever was a particularly common culprit. They say that as a surprise when it seems like the, like it's one of those things where it seems the parody is the original.
Like that's pretty funny.
I mean, maybe the bread thing was at one point actually played normally, and it just is older anime that we never really got used to. And by the time anime started actually coming to English and stuff, it had just become a thing to parody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all right, now we've gotten all of. Now that I've remembered to mention that. And we've done our usual end of episode talking about stuff. We'll just remind you that you can find our past episodes at tsunamitherapy.podbean.com. We usually put the episodes up on Friday after recording on Thursday. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.